Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their coastal locations. Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and coming soon to Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. Safe travels to all the Duck fans that are jumping on a bird and heading over to Pennsylvania and getting ready for the Penn State wideout game with the Oregon Ducks. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of those four coastal locations, Pacific City, Tillamook, Cannon Beach, Lincoln City, and Dirt. Coming soon.
Coming soon. They got another one.
Coming soon. Rockaway Beach, Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. He was so great, so gracious, that we had to get him on again.
We needed more butt. We decided last week we got to have more.
We need more butt. Everybody needs more butt. Jake Butt, he is going to be on the call of Northwestern UCLA on the Big Ten Network, and he's got experience. He's been in a whiteout.
Yes, we actually had listeners who saw Jake Butt walking through the tailgate lot, sending us tweets saying, hey, can we get this guy a police escort to the front door? We got to help him walking through the tailgate lot.
He's a man of the people. Jake Butt, JBooty88 on Twitter. Good morning, Jake. It's good to track you down and get you back on. I'm just curious, what was the tailgate experience like going through getting into Autzen?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Great to be back with you. Tailgate was awesome. I mean, that's the best part about, you know, football and college football is it's a community event. Everybody gets together and, you know, especially the rivalries. You got, like, you know, different moms or aunts and uncles wearing the half Oregon State jerseys. So it was awesome. That's one of my favorite parts about football.
Well, and you were awesome on the call. I'm curious, before we get to the wideout game, what did you make of the performance? And Oregon is, they haven't played anybody yet this year. It's kind of their last tune-up. Wasn't a great start. What'd you make of the win over Oregon State on Saturday?
Yeah, just a great win. I mean, they did their job. It's those rivalry games are always dangerous. You never know exactly what you're going to get. And I give credit to Oregon State. I mean, they came out and they fought early. They put that one good drive together. I figured, hey, maybe they have some fight. But after that, it was just all Oregon. And I got the sense that Will Stein and Dan Lanning, they weren't going to empty the playbook for this Oregon State game. They might have been holding some things back ahead of the Penn State game. So all in all, they did their job, and they've done their job up to this point. But here's the real test this weekend going out to Happy Valley.
Jake Butt, our guest here, Big Ten Network, getting on the call for UCLA Northwestern this weekend. But also we want to pick your brain on the Oregon-Penn State game. And I want to dive into and ask about wideout stuff. But I want to kind of ask you a question, because you were kind of at the start of the turnaround for Michigan's football program back to upper echelon excellence. So I'm just curious, when you become a very good football team and you look at a schedule – and you're 18 to 22 years old, and you see, by our terms, patsy, 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 big game. Could you walk us through what it's like to have a team that you, if you're just being honest, you know that you can kind of sleepwalk and win versus the big game the week after? What is that like as a player, as somebody who's never been in a locker room, never had to prep for a lesser than opponent, knowing just on the horizon was the bigger opponent? What is that like? Because it kind of looked like Oregon, to me, was sleepwalking their way through it and still comfortably won the game because they knew Penn State was this weekend.
Yeah, I think some of it's overblown, to be honest with you. You know, some of these things that we talk about in the media, they sound good and they give us something to discuss. You know, another example would be Peyton Manning kind of went in on the halftime adjustments. He said he's never heard of it, never done it. As far as what you're talking about there, you know, you don't really notice it. You don't talk about it. And if you have a mature football team, a championship football team, it's always about what you do. So we would go through practice and treat every single day of, hey, was this day good enough for us? Did we practice good enough to beat Ohio State? You know, for Oregon, did you practice or play good enough to beat Penn State or win a national championship? You're competing with not your opponent, but you're competing with the highest possible version of yourself. So I can tell you, we never once had a single conversation about, you know, hey, we're going to blow this opponent out this week, but we got to save something for next week. As players, I don't know, I can't speak for the coaches, but as players, it was always about, are we meeting our standard for who we are when we're at our best?
Interesting. Now, you got a chance to play in a lot of big atmospheres. Obviously, in the Big House is your home stadium. You go on the road to Ohio State for a rivalry game. Like, where does the wideout at Penn State rank, and what is Oregon going into this weekend?
And it's number one, and I played in Denver, so we went to Arrowhead, Oakland, the Raiders, you know, been to New England, you know, I played Utah on the road, Ohio State on the road, Iowa on the road. I played in some great, great environments, but the Penn State whiteout immediately jumps out. That is the number one environment I've ever played in. It's fun. It's rowdy. That is their identity too. Like Penn State, those fans get up and get out for this game. And I don't know if you guys ever been to Happy Valley, but getting to camp, there is nothing. It is just nature and trees, and you're just driving down the highway. You're wondering, where the heck am I? And then all of a sudden, here's a college campus. So there's literally nothing else to do within like an hour radius of campus, which means everybody that, you know, cares or is even aware of the football game, that's what they're doing on Saturday night. They're going to cheer on their team and be a part of the environment. And from me, from my right shoulder to my left shoulder, a foot, you wouldn't be able to have a conversation. Like if I'm trying as a tight end, when I was trying to talk to my tackle saying, hey, here comes the pressure outside, look, the nickel's coming, doesn't matter, can't hear you. So the communication is, there is no possible communication. You cannot hear anything down on the field.
Apologies for not looking this up. Did you guys win at the wideout game?
We lost my freshman year. It was 2013, triple overtime. It was a great game. That's when Christian Hackenberg hit Allen Robinson on back-to-back Hail Marys to send it into overtime.
Right.
But then in 2015, we beat them pretty handily. But that was an afternoon whiteout. So they'll do afternoon whiteouts, but the real whiteout to me is the night game. And that's what will be different. We beat them when it was a 3:30 kick. The 7:30 kick is a whole different beast.
Well, I'm just curious to get your thoughts. This is Jake Butt, Big Ten Network. He'll be on the call for UCLA Northwestern this weekend. Obviously, Oregon's going over to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Penn State is 8-3 in wideout games with James Franklin, but they're 4-20 against top 10 opponents. It's been a minute, and he just whether it's fair or not, I don't know how you view it, because I appreciated your locker room lesser than opponent comment. I'm just curious, from your perspective, is it fair what we say about James Franklin and just how you view trusting coaches or teams for whatever reason in big games when maybe they repeatedly come up short?
So there's two camps with James Franklin. And what you're asking me here, what we're talking about here, that is always the conversation. Anytime it's Penn State against a top-ranked opponent, this is the conversation just because they've struggled. But the other camp is that James Franklin is the most fairly ranked coach in college football, because when you peel back the layers of these top five matchups, top 10 matchups, oftentimes James and Penn State, they haven't been the favorites. So they lose a close one to Ohio State, but Ohio State was predicted to win. They lose a close one to Michigan, but Michigan was predicted to win. James, historically, I think in those, he's like 4-20 or something like that. Mm-hmm. The four times he won is when he was the higher ranked team and expected to win. So James is actually the most fairly ranked coach in college football. He always wins the ones he's supposed to, and rarely, if ever, wins the ones where he's not a favorite. Now, they're favored this weekend. You know, they are a home favorite against Oregon, and, you know, they followed the same model that Michigan and Ohio State did to win a national championship, which is take a bunch of guys from your roster that should be in the NFL, pool NIL money together, and get them to come back on college. to college. So there's no excuses for Penn State, and there's going to be an emotional, mental, almost spiritual side of this game for Penn State. I don't think this is a must-win for Oregon, but mentally, I do think this is a must-win for Penn State.
On that note, Jake, I mean, you mentioned the favorite, and he usually wins when he's in that spot. And we talked a little bit about this yesterday. Like, there's pressure on every coach when they go into a big game. And if Oregon loses, I'm sure we'll be here on Monday saying, what went wrong? Can they get over the hump? Like, that whole same dialogue will exist. But it does seem like the pressure is predominantly on one side of this matchup. Do you think it goes in their favor, being it is at home and they got all this talent back and they are the favorite? Do you like Penn State this weekend?
You know, it truly is a toss-up. Like, I couldn't tell you who wins this game with any degree of confidence, but I'm very high on Oregon. If you just looked at the on-field play up until this point, you would have to pick Oregon. You know, Penn State's looked shaky, but Oregon's been completely dominant. I just think this game is going to be won and lost in the trenches. We're going to talk about Dante Moore, and we're going to talk about Drew Aller, upgraded their receiver room and these young DBs for Oregon, but this game is won and lost in the trenches. You know, for Oregon's offense, I think Will Stein will win the Broyles Award, or he'll be a finalist. I think he's one of the best assistant coaches in all college football. He does such a great job of spreading the ball around. But the foundation that makes it all work is the offensive line. They've been able to run the football because of the offensive line. Dante Moore has been able to spread the ball around because he's been protected. They have not seen a defense like what Penn State has. Deny Dennis Sutton. He's in the running for Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I think he'll be an All-American. Zane Durant there at defensive tackles, one of the best defensive tackles in college football. Great pass rusher. Then they got this young true freshman named Chaz Coleman who he almost doesn't – he's like a true – I mean, he literally is a freshman. He has no idea how good he is, but he's impossible to block. This big, wiry, has great spin moves. So – it's going to be a completely different challenge for Dante Moore because he's going to be under duress and under pressure. And then for those tackles, just think about snap count. You know, they can't look inside at the football. They can't hear the snap count. So they're going to have to guess when the ball is snapped while going backwards, while trying to block these defensive ends. It's going to be a big-time test for the Oregon Duck offensive line.
So what's your overall read of Dan Lanning, just as somebody who played not very long ago, when you watch some of these younger coaches who are starting to make a real name for themselves in the sport? We're used to the old guard, right? The Sabins, Kirby's been around, Dabo, obviously, like Brian Kelly. What do you make of some of the younger coaches and somebody like Dan Lanning? What is your view or feel of them as a head coach?
You know, I think Dan Lanning, and I would say this, people like to attach that word young to it. It's, hey, Dan Lanning's the best young coach in college football. I don't even like attaching the word young anymore. I just think he's one of the best leaders in college football, period. And, you know, one great indicator of this is, can you maximize the talent on your roster? And look at how Oregon's used the transfer portal. Look at Bo Nix's career statistics. He comes to Oregon, becomes a first-round pick. Dylan Gabriel, look at his career statistics, come to Oregon, elevates his game. Jordan Birch last year, the defensive end, right? Mm-hmm. Like he was a fine player at South Carolina, but when he comes to Oregon, he becomes a whole different beast. This year you got a guy, Malik Benson and Bear Alexander. Malik was just a fine receiver at Florida State, Alabama. Didn't do anything special. He's the leading receiver for Oregon this year. Bear Alexander, a guy with all these expectations, and he's fallen short as a five-star USC in Georgia. He can't get it done. But then there's some magic and art to Dan Lanning's leadership where he just is able to communicate with Bear and help him release some of that emotional weight. So it allows him to become who he is, which is a really capable defensive lineman and a big piece for the Oregon defensive front. I just think he's an awesome, awesome leader. He's a master motivator. What they did to Oklahoma State this year was a masterclass in mental motivation for your team. I've said this a few times now. I believe if Dan Lanning's the head coach at Oregon, it's a matter of time before Oregon wins a national championship. It's not an if, it's a when. I don't know if it'll be this year, next year, 5 years, or 10 years. Oregon will win a national championship with Dan Lanning as the head coach.
I knew I loved you, Jake Budd. I knew I loved you all along. This is why you're my favorite. No, I know we're against it. We got to go. But I'm curious to ask you, it's not just Oregon-Penn State this weekend in the Big Ten. And I don't want to overlook the game that you're on the call for, Northwestern-UCLA. But we got USC going on the road to Illinois. Illinois got stuffed in a locker. What the hell happened there? What do you make of that game? Is there an upset brewing in Seattle? And where are you at on maybe the hangover of Indiana's big win now going on the road to Iowa?
Man, yeah, I'm glad you said it. There's some great games this weekend. I do think Washington, Ohio State, very dangerous. Washington hasn't lost at home since 2021, and we've seen the trend of young quarterbacks have struggled in their first road test. So Julian Sand is a true freshman going all the way out to the Pacific Northwest. That's going to be interesting. And Matt Patricia, Ohio State's defensive play caller, he respects Damon Williams, said he reminds him of Kyler Murray. What do they do to keep him in the pocket and not allow him to kill you with his legs? If they can shore him up, I think Ohio State wins. But I would say that's upset alert. And then Illinois-USC, Illinois was like the talk of the offseason, guys. Like we thought coming off a 10-win year and all their experience that this was going to be a special season. Here's the big issue. Indiana picked them apart in the secondary. They run a ton of pressure and they run a ton of man-to-man. They blitz and play man-to-man. Well, the issue is USC can abuse man-to-man coverage with Maiava and Lemon and all those weapons. They have to adjust their game plan. They cannot just blitz and play man-to-man against the Trojans, or the Trojans might put up 60 on them. And then on the flip side, you know, for Illinois' offense, Altmaier has been under duress for the past 2 or 3 years. They're one of the most pressured and most sacked offenses in college football. Well, USC, actually, this year, they've been generating a ton of pressure and a ton of sacks. So this, from a matchup standpoint, this is a very dangerous game for Illinois. There needs to be some adjustments by Bielema and Aaron Henry. And then Indiana, listen, I lost as the number two team. We were undefeated on the road going to play in Kinnick Stadium, a game we should have never lost. But magic, it's one of those places similar to Washington where, like, magic happens. The issue is Cignetti is the type of coach, he has his team ready. Like, he is committed to sending a message. Remember when they just curb-stomped Nebraska last year? Just absolutely.
Right.
That's what I'm expecting to see this week. I just think Cignetti, he leans into the fact that people continue to doubt his program, and they show up ready to play.
Dude, you're really good at this. I don't know if anybody's told you, but you're really good at this.
I appreciate it, yeah. It's great hanging out with you guys. Anytime.
No, dude, we love having you on. I don't know if we'll have you on again next week, but we'd love to catch up with you as soon as we possibly can. Have a great call, UCLA Northwestern. I'm not personally particularly interested in the game, but you're really good on the broadcast, so I will tune over to hear what you're saying about the two teams. Thank you for hopping on.
Thank you.
I'm glad you had safe travels. Have a good call, and we'll catch up soon.
All right, thank you. Sounds good.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Jake Butt, man. Man, he's good.
It's a really good slate in the Big Ten this weekend. There's been a lot of down weekends. This might be one of the best college football weekends we've seen in a long time, and a lot of very intriguing matchups in the conference outside of just Oregon and Penn State, obviously, on Saturday night.
It's not an if, it's a when. Dan Lanning will win a national championship at Oregon. That is from Jake Butt, and I will carry that over to something we brought up yesterday that I want to talk about on the other side, and I have Lanning audio.
Ooh.
Dirt and Sprague, back with more on 105.1 The Fan. Hey, Dirt and Sprague here, hanging around with our great friends at Trajan Wealth. Trajan Wealth's help organizing retirement. Look, retirement doesn't matter if you're a high-end, make-a-ton-of-money-every-year person, or you're middle of the road. Trajan Wealth can help any and everybody. Free consultations can be reached with all questions that can be answered. 503-207-6000 or online at TrajanWealth.com.
I used to sit around and wonder, do I have enough money around to retire? Am I missing something? Then I met with Trajan Wealth. Now I have answers and a real plan. They're not just advisors, they're fiduciaries, and they've treated myself and my wife like family. I'm a client today because they earn my trust, and you can take the stress off of your shoulders by giving Trajan Wealth a call today and get your plan started. They got offices located in Lake Oswego. The number to reach them, 503-207-6000, or you can check them out online at TrajanWealth.com.
Advisory services offered through Trajan Wealth, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Paid advertisement.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Pate State University Thursday, as it is every Thursday at 7:40. So we'll talk with Josh Pate, the commissioner. We got an awkward in-between segment there. And then a surprise response this morning from Dane Brugler of The Athletic, covers the NFL draft. Wrote a good piece. This weekend's got a lot of NFL talent in that wideout game.
There's going to be a lot of NFL scouts there.
He'll hop on at 8:30. We got our big PP picks to make.
Yes, we do.
Updated records on those, points against the spread. So a couple clips I pulled of Dan Lanning.
Yes, the Danimal talked not very long yesterday. He was pretty short and to the point.
Now, no Isaac and Suk today. They're off. They got the Seahawk-Cardinal Thursday night football game, but yes, They'll be on tomorrow, and Dan Lanning will be on the program Friday at 4 o'clock.
Yes, he will.
So we'll see. Great conversations have been had with them. I think reading how he has been in press conferences, I wonder if it's going to be kind of real short answers.
He did not do the coach's show last night, by the way. Tosh Lapoy did the coach's show instead of Dan Lanning.
I don't know how many weeks we're going on of him not doing
he
that
did it
show.
Last week. I think he did it last week. Okay. But he took the week before that off, and Stein did it.
Well, we had a conversation yesterday, and I think we ended up at a disagreement. Dan Lanning was asked about this game at the wideout and pressure cooker for Oregon.
Well, we said before, pressure is a privilege, right? And you come to Oregon to play in games like this, right? There's always pressure, right, for us every single time we step out there. But this is certainly a unique one. But that's what you're excited about.
And I think that's, it's a short answer, but I think it's important to note, like, this guy is not going into Happy Valley with the expectation of, like, ah, shucks, it's okay to lose this game. And I know you weren't suggesting that.
Of course not.
But I want to ask, if this game was being played in Eugene this weekend instead of Happy Valley,
mm-hmm,
would that pressure percentage that you, what did you get?
I think it would be more. 15? I think it'd be more even for sure if it was at Autzen Stadium or even. I just think fundamentally though, like you have a guy. And when did James Franklin start at Penn State? 2014.
Sure.
I mean, he's been there long time. I think 2014 was his first year. Yeah. He has 4 wins all time against teams ranked in the top 10.
Well, what did you think of Jake Butt's response to that? The 4 times he's been
favored,
he's
not wrong. He's not wrong, but people would say, why have you never gotten to the point where you've been favored in any of these games? You got resources, you're recruiting at a high level. Like, that's another part of it where, like, yeah, you're losing the games as a dog and winning the games as a favorite. Why have you not been able to, in 12 years, break through and be a favorite more times against Ohio State and Michigan, who are predominantly the teams that have beaten them? I just, like, I'm not saying that if Oregon loses this game by 14, we're not going to come in on Monday and be like, hey, what the hell happened? Where does the rest of the season go? Like, of course that will be the takeaway. I also think, like, he is such a unique coach. He was almost booed off his own field at home last year when they lost to Ohio State without giving up an offensive touchdown, if I'm not wrong. Didn't they throw a pick 6 and that's the way that they lost the
game?
It was
weird,
ugly, low
game,
scoring.
Yeah.
Fans were yelling at him. Like, the two big teams that he played, or three big teams that he played last year, were Ohio State, Oregon, and Notre Dame, and he lost all three of them. And so I know this narrative exists out here of Lanning hasn't won a title. Like, I was yelling in my car yesterday listening to Patrick and Danny say, well, what big game has Dan Lanning won? What big game has Dan Lanning won? Does a conference championship not matter anymore? Do we not count? He literally beat Penn State in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
And I know that the end of the season was painful. You don't need to remind me of it. It was 34-0 in the first half, and that was one of the most painful days I've ever experienced. They won the Big Ten last year beating this James Franklin team. So yeah. I just think this is a Penn State team that went all in for this year.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon, I think, is maybe going to end up having a great year. We'll see. But they didn't come into the season with the expectations that Penn State did.
They didn't, but I think it quickly changed.
Sure. You might not be wrong on that.
And I would counter and say, you're not wrong on Penn State. We probably do agree that the pressure's, it's more tilted Franklin.
Like, he hasn't beat a top 5 team in almost a decade. Dan Lanning beat 2 of them last year.
What was the number we said yesterday? 2-17 against, is it top 10 Big Ten teams or whatever it was?
It's not good. Whatever record you want to throw out, it's not a good record.
But this was where maybe we disagreed at. Lanning lives in a world where there is pressure, where when you do lose these big games, he learns from them and he tries to apply those changes that led to his demise in them. And so they geared all up for this season at Penn State. So did Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have younger players. They got more or less experienced players. But every year at Oregon, if Oregon is at the level that everybody here locally says they are, every year for Oregon is an all-in year to win the national championship. It's just some years you might feel stronger about that than others. So I guess that's where we would probably diverge, is we agree that the pressure is, for most, more on Franklin. But I also believe a program like Oregon goes into these games with a fair amount of pressure on them as well to not lose, even though both can lose and still make the playoff.
Every team that is a big-time program that goes into a big game has pressure on their shoulders to win.
Yeah.
That's no disagreement at all there. And Oregon has pressure to go win the game. I just think there's a lot of heat. If James Franklin loses this game, there's legitimately like grumbles in the fan base from Penn State fans of, what's it going to take, dude? You got your wideout game. You're at home. You brought everybody back. You're returning quarterback. You still got to go on the road to Ohio State. Like, what's it going to take for you to win one of these games?
Now, Oregon is better than any of the four teams. Their last four home wideouts, not counting the playoff because they did a weird playoff wideout.
Yeah, middle of the day.
They have won by an average of 28.
Washington was last year. They killed them. I want to say Auburn with Bo was one of them in an opener.
Washington, Iowa, and Minnesota. Or
yeah, they have not had a big one be a wideout game in a while, because Fox keeps grabbing. And Franklin bitched about that yesterday. He was like, I know Fox told us we could do a noon wideout, but it ain't the same. And Jake Butt just reaffirmed that. He played it an afternoon wideout and a night wideout, and it ain't comparable.
One clip to play about Lanning on a different interview he did, and then we'll get to Josh Pate. That's ahead. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan. Well, we got to turn and burn because it's a Pate State University Thursday, so we'll talk with Josh Pate about this game. I kind of felt bad, Jake Butt just answering nothing but Oregon Penn State questions, and he's calling UCLA Northwestern, but
I think he gets it. Like, he's not going to be there for long. He's got talent. He's on the rise.
Well, the Big Ten Network only has two games, and the other one is Rutgers at Minnesota.
Well, look, the networks for the conferences get the last pick, right? The Pac-12 Network games were always the games that nobody else wanted.
Funny thing about our listeners is how great they are with timing. I listened to an interview last night after our hoops practice, and I thought it was pretty good. And then I looked on our social media account to see if you had sent out a show tweet.
Yeah.
And one of our listeners, Zach, texted us, hey, you should check out this interview. I'm like, I just literally watched it. So it's good timing in that regard. And it was Dan Lanning did an interview with Trey Wingo.
Yeah, that was a random one I saw yesterday.
Now, based on listening to it, I would say I think this was actually done last week.
Probably.
He has a snippet of like, well, we got Oregon State first, right?
Yeah.
But he was asked about Penn State stuff, but he basically said Lanning talked about lessons because they text after the Ohio State game last year, the Rose Bowl. And I thought this was a really interesting answer by Dan Lanning.
I just got done having this conversation with Dante earlier today. We always meet and kind of go talk through game plan. I talk about how much I've learned from losses, like how losses have been really shaped who I am. You know, and I think back to big losses. And when I was at Georgia, we lost to Florida in a game that I was just heartbroken because I thought I did a really bad job of having our defense ready that day. Think back to the SEC championship game that we lost to Alabama. Right. We go on later on that year to win the national championship. Think about my first loss here as a coach when I was just got to Oregon. We had to go play Georgia for game one and we're not even off the field and the band's taking the field and just everything kind of went wrong and how many lessons I learned. And just like that last year, you know, we had one loss, but it was the last one. And we learned, you know, some big lessons, like little things that we want to make sure that we have variables for, you know, coverage adjustments. Ways that we can stay on schedule, more aggressive plays on you know, from my end. When we're in games like that, in moments like that, we got to be aggressive to give ourselves a chance, especially when you start off in the wrong end. And then also just the acknowledgement that sometimes it's not your day.
And I think that's kind of where I'm at, is this guy's going into this with the psychotic nature of, I was beat by a Big Ten team last time in the Rose Bowl. I will do everything in my power to not go to Happy Valley and have that happen to me again. And I think that's the world he operates in. Mm-hmm. And I'll be fascinated to see this. They are the most bet on team at FanDuel Sports in college football, the Ducks plus the 3.5.
You're giving a hook. I think I understand why a lot of people are taking it. If they win, they will open a lot of eyes this weekend. If they go on the road and win in Penn State with this young team and an inexperienced quarterback and all that, and they beat the team who's supposed to be the juggernaut in the Big Ten, they're opening a lot of eyeballs up.
Let's talk with the commissioner about this one. How does he feel about the pressure of Oregon in this one versus the pressure of, obviously, James Franklin and Penn State? Josh Pate will join us coming up next of the Josh Pate College Football Show. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, very rarely do we have a guest on who gets Get Up and ESPN national television out of the way so they can join our radio program.
Get out of here, Greenberg.
And what are you doing, Mike?
I got to go on in Portland.
But that's what he's doing. Josh Pate, Pate State University, every Thursday at around 7:40. Josh Pate College Football Show. You can check out his Tuesday episode in which he previews the Oregon-Penn State game.
Yes, he did.
And you can catch out the new episode that'll come out this evening at Josh Pate, CFB, the commissioner of the sport, the unofficial but almost maybe the official commissioner of college football. Good morning, Pate State University. Hope the Breakfast Bowl was great. I want to start with this. We all know that James Franklin is terrible in these big games and nobody trusts him and the record and all that stuff. You addressed that as well on your Tuesday show. I just want to get your thoughts because me and my co-host have been debating this a little bit. Of the pressure of teams like Oregon who go into this, and it's Franklin, 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 Penn State, the pressure on Oregon and Dan Lanning in a big game going on the road.
Okay, well, I just dropped my phone beneath the couch cushion, so that explains the delay. look, I'm going to say what Dan Lanning does not have the stones to say, and that is there is almost no pressure on Oregon here. Don't let anyone up there fool you. They are free. They are loose. And they are going into a place where, as you know, I've trademarked the term pucker meter. The pucker meter is on about 13.5 on a 1-10 scale in State College, Pennsylvania, and the surrounding areas because it does something to you when game week gets here for a game that you've looked forward to for 8 months. And that's what they've looked forward to. And they went to the portal, and they got wide receivers, and you got Drew Aller like 17 years in, and you went and got Jim Knowles, who faced Oregon twice last year, to plug in a defensive coordinator, and you got the bye week, and Oregon's got to travel 19,000 miles. That only matters if you win. If you lose and you had all those edges, can you imagine what they say about an already beleaguered James Franklin? Whereas if Dan Lanning and them go lose this, they're not going to get blown out. I mean, Penn State either loses or wins by 1 point. That's just the way their program is. So if Dan Lanning and them lose, who cares? Ohio State lost last year in Eugene? And I don't remember how the season ended for them. Someone can correct it. I don't remember how that went. But point being, it's not the end of the world. Now, this is not going to be echoed inside the building there, of course. But I think they know, man, we can go play loose. It's almost like you hope your team's too ignorant to even know how big the stakes are.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to think about it. I am curious, too, because I know you ended up picking Penn State on the show. What are one or two of the matchups that you look at that might end up deciding it? Your great point on the rushing yards, like Penn State ran the ball for 297 yards on Oregon in the Big Ten title game, and it didn't matter. So that might not end up being the number that we all make it out to be. What are the matchups and the metrics that you're most looking forward to deciding this game?
Look, I've never said this before, and I may be dumb saying it now about Penn State. I feel dumb. It's going to come out of my mouth. It's going to be dumb. Just don't laugh. Please mute yourself if you laugh. I'm looking forward to the Penn State wide receivers against Oregon's DBs. I told you it was bad. I told you it was bad. It's not easy to stand in the paint with points like these, I promise you. So they've been terrible throwing the ball so far this year. And if Penn State is what they've been so far, we are wasting our time because Oregon's going to win that thing unless they turn the ball over four times. I have got to believe there's something in the tank, passing game-wise, that Penn State hasn't shown. I went and watched them practice in fall camp, and their passing game, just good on good, their passing game, their receivers won 50-50 balls. They went up and got the ball. They fought. They got separation when they needed to. And then that's nothing like what we've seen weeks one, two, and three from them so far. And the accuracy is not even there for Aller. So if that's, you know, like status quo for them, they're done. They're cooked. But if it's not, I really look forward to seeing these wide receivers do what they've been paid to do. You talk about them like it's an NFL game. This is why you went and got them, be a free agency. And these are the couple of matchups, this being one of them, that you went and got those guys for. Do you trust them, or did you go get them just to put their names in the preview magazine but not actually use them? It's not going to be easy. Like, if you're waiting for the easy matchups, they don't come in games like these. You go get guys that give you a shot in fist fights, and that's exactly what their receivers versus Oregon's DBs should be. I'm looking forward to that, and then I'm looking forward to whether or not Aller can put the ball where it needs to be. Just, I mean, the vertical passing game in general, them trusting him on that. And if it's not there, and even if it is there, the other thing that I think is, I think we may see some guys other than Drew Aller take snaps in this game. I put the over-under at 5.5. I think they got to get creative play calling-wise, game plan-wise. I think you got to incorporate some things that maybe you haven't shown this year, and I think they will.
I have a X's and O's question to ask you, but I got to first ask, you announced that you were be taking the tour to Georgia, Alabama, and I get it. It's a massive game. I'm as interested in that one as all the other big games this weekend, but I talk about a missed. You are white T-shirt paid, and we have a whiteout game with an actually great opponent instead of, you know, middle of the road in Minnesota. They finally get one of these and you don't go to it. I just, controversial decision by you when you rock the tee every show.
See, you love me too much. You put on kid gloves with that whole layout of mild criticism. Trust me when I say the fine people at Penn State and Oregon took the kid gloves off when I made that announcement, yeah, and they hit me up. And frankly, some people who should be more worried about game planning than my destination on Saturday even hit me up. So here was the thing. I have a much better shot, I think, of seeing Oregon and Penn State later in the year, respectively, whereas I can't guarantee that the SEC doesn't just devour itself. Mm. So I've got to make sure I hit these big matchups early. Also, let's not overlook I'm beginning my day in Champaign, Illinois. Like, hello, where's the rest of the country supporting the Big Ten brand? I'll be there. Apparently, allegedly, Fox will be there. I don't even know if they're still showing up after last week's splattering. But I gotta look at Oregon, USC later in the year. I got to look at Penn State, Ohio State later in the year. I've got to assume, hey, these teams are going to be in the playoff picture. I don't know. Everyone may lose four games in the SEC. It could be a bloodbath, so I got to get them while I can.
Look, you've blown up. You've done an exceptional job. There is a Penn State Trojan man right there lingering for that Illinois game that you could really lean into. Okay, let me ask you an X's and O's-based question then. Jim Knowles is interesting, is he not? Like, the last time he saw Oregon, it went rather well for him. This was a big get for them. I'm just curious your thoughts of that rematch itself, given what we saw the last time he went against them.
Yeah, I think it matters. I just don't know to what extent it matters. This is how I handle all X's and O's questions, by the way. So I think that I asked a lot of people, you know, coaching types, hey, what does that mean? And they just word saladed me. And I don't want word salad. I wanted the main course. I've really not gotten a tangible impact. Hey, watch this matchup because that guy's there. I do think it's really interesting, the further in the weeds you get in Ohio State message board culture, the further you get convinced that the first matchup he had at Ohio State against Oregon last year was done his way. And then, in no uncertain terms, it was disseminated to him, no, we're doing it a different way moving forward. And there's a lot of credence to the theory that may have played a role in the second time around. All right, well, you could believe one of two things. You could believe Jim Knowles learned a valuable lesson there, and he'll apply that moving forward. Or you can think Jim Knowles was low-key very bitter about being told what to do. That's why he left Ohio State, and by the way, it is. And he will revert right back to doing it the way he did in game one because he thinks if they execute his plan, the game one plan works. Mm. if I'm Oregon, I am rooting for the latter and not the former. You got home field at your back in this one, which you didn't have any of those other two matchups. I say all that to say, and this is as professionally as I can put it, I have no real clue.
Yeah, I have seen that message board stuff from Ohio State, which it is interesting that it comes out this week. Maybe he didn't have that much to do with the defense in the Rose Bowl, and we'll see how Oregon does on Saturday. And we'll obviously talk to you next Thursday, and it will be a big takeaway. But I'm just curious, like, for now, if I ask you, if Oregon wins on Saturday night, what's the takeaway on them?
So let's assume it was a competitive game.
Yeah.
To me, I'd look at it, and I would say, I've got to assume they're the worst they'll be right now, barring injury. So if because they'll get better because there are a lot of new parts on this team. They are the antithesis of Penn State. Penn State is a proven commodity. Oregon is not. But that means Oregon could also have bigger upside. So if they go win on Saturday, that's why I feel like they're playing with house money, because even if they lose, this is what I would say. But if they win, I'll say, wow, they won already, and they're probably not close to what they will end up becoming. I think they probably announced themselves to the general college football fan as a national championship team. Everyone says a playoff contender. Well, I mean, everyone's playoff contender, 12 teams. But they could be a national title contender. I think they already are. And I don't care if they lose Saturday. They're still a national title contender to me. But it would go from me being comfortable just hanging out over here with a few people to everybody crowds in the elevator, and then we're in the back saying to each other, weren't we here first? And the answer is yes, we were. They're very uncouth. The Johnny-come-lately types, the casual types, they're very uncouth. They come in, they yell louder, and then they pretend like they've been there the whole time.
Yeah. Josh Pate, the commissioner of college football, Josh Pate College Football Show, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. So a new episode dropping tonight. He's getting ready for a big weekend of college football. Give him a follow on social media, at Josh Pate, CFB, and follow him on Instagram, too. He's great on IG, gives you all the behind-the-scenes access, the private jets, the autographs, the screaming ladies, you name it. He gives it to you. Friday Night Lines, Ramen Noodle Express goes on this week. I don't know if you can come up with one, but a college football coach, a major college football coach, having his daughter infiltrate the enemy linebacker and announce a relationship could set up to be an all-time 30 for 30 if that relationship ends after Lane Kiffin beats LSU this weekend. Your thoughts on the love affair entering into a big football game?
Did we lose him?
No.
No.
Are my headphones broken?
I think we lost him.
He dropped his phone.
Sorry
to the couch.
That. No, I just did a practice run. Just did a practice run.
Okay.
See, I had my sync on, and I wanted to spare you that sound, and I actually spared you all sound.
I was going to say, I was like, oh, my God, he hated that question. He hung up on us.
All right, this sounded good the first time, so it's probably going to crash and burn the second time. But what I think is, yeah, it's going to crash and burn. I can't believe Kiffin didn't think to do this before. Everyone is shocked that this is happening, and I'm thinking to myself, how did it take this long for him to figure this out?
Yeah.
You know good and well, this thing's not getting off the runway, okay? She is done with him. She is donezo about a week and a half from now. Amicably, of course,
yes.
No matter who wins, amicably. But I just think that there are some guys who attract this type of headline, and Lane Kiffin is that guy. I would, however, strongly encourage you guys, if you haven't seen it, and the company's not paying me anything to say this, although they should, but if you haven't watched that Lane Kiffin documentary, you're going to go into it thinking, oh, this will be good for a few laughs, and then you're going to come out of it saying, why are my eyes watery? It's kind of like the Adam Sandler movie Click. It was supposed to be a nice, fun movie.
Oh, it's a great rated sad movie.
It got me. It got me, too. Like a rubber band to the face. Yeah. So, yeah, that documentary is good.
I'm looking forward to the show tonight. I know you'll get to your upset meters. I'm just like, where you got Washington hosting Ohio State, single-digit point spread, USC on the road at Illinois after they got shoved in a locker, Indiana, Iowa. Where is the biggest upset alert for you this weekend?
Well, I mean, let's also remember Auburn has to go right back on the road to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Let's remember that. Let's remember also Friday night, it looks like a typo. It looks like a point spread on the metric system. It's like there's some catch to it. Florida State is under a touchdown favorite on the road at Virginia.
Hmm.
Like, what are we even doing there? So I know enough to know not to touch that thing, but I can't. In what world
makes
does
no
Virginia
sense.
Upset the FSU? I guess the ACC. I guess that's the world.
We'll get you out of here, Pate. I just want to ask you very quickly. You said it's like a rubber band to the face. Lanning has some of these once in a while. Is something about the South and that area that just lends you guys to come up with hilarious use, like analogies for situations? Do you guys write these down? Where do these come from?
I don't know what it is. The answer is unequivocally yes. It's a Southern thing. When I was doing talk radio, when I first cut my teeth in media, there was a high school coach named Chip Siegel from Lochapoca High School and then Lynette in Alabama. And he's just been around forever. He's an offensive line coach. He's just but he knew every one of these little phrases and axioms. Some of us know some of them. He knew all of them. And he would call in, and he was never trying to be funny with them. Almost like when you laughed, he would look and say, why are people laughing? I don't get it. That's just how I talk. And I remember thinking, in order for me to fit in down here, even though I grew up here, I've got to become more like that guy. Mm. And apparently I wasn't the only one with that strategy.
All right, Chip Siegel, Josh Pate, you name it, he is it. Josh Pate College Football Show, new episode tonight. You're all going to catch it anyway. Subscribe. It's free. Keeps the show free for everybody out there on Twitter, at Josh Pate CFB. You see him across all media platforms. He joins us every Thursday at 7:40. Safe travels, my man. Enjoy all the football, and we'll have a lot to talk about with you next week.
All right, guys. See you next week.
All right, there we go. There you go. Good stuff. Josh Pate, at Josh Pate CFB. We have a lot to get to in the third hour.
We do.
We can react to some of what he said there. We have Dane Brugler joining us at 8:30. We still got to make our big pee-pee picks.
We got to get to our picks.
So we'll do that. It is a loaded third hour, Dirt and Sprague. Stick with us, hang with us. More college football talk. 105.1, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.